Welcome, welcome, welcome to Mixed Culture, where we have conversation with a purpose. And I am one of the hosts, Roosevelt Butler. Butler, I like to call myself. And then to my left, I have...
Kimmy.
Hey, Kimmy. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Good morning, everybody.
All right, all right. And then to her left, we have...
Merit Fondo.
What's up, Merit? How you
Good
doing
morning,
today?
Merit. I am great. Thank you.
Yeah. And so today's conversation, we're going to indulge, we're going to dive into Miss Merit. We're going to dive into her thoughts. We're going to see, you know, what she's got going on and some of the information that she can put out here and that you guys can get a purpose out of and go from there. So today, Miss Merit, how are you today?
I am great. Thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful. So can you just give us a brief dialogue on what you do and what is it, you know, what's going on with you?
Again, my name is Merit Fondong. I'm a family nurse practitioner certified and mental health nurse practitioner certified too. I've also done some work in addiction. I got marijuana certifications both in North Dakota and Minnesota. And we do some social security disability assessments on the site.
Okay.
Yes.
We have a clinic in East Grand Forks. It's called Balm of Gilead Healthcare Clinic. And we offer, like I said again, with my certifications, we offer primary care, mental health services. They call it medicated assisted treatment. That is Suboxone for people suffering with addiction with opioids. And then we do the marijuana certification. So in North Dakota and Minnesota, and then social security disability assessment in Minnesota.
Okay.
So if you look at the services that we provide, we look at providing services both in Minnesota and in North Dakota. We are both state certified. And we have insurances in place. Information is online. We have the website up. Just look at it and call if you need an appointment. We are here to serve.
All right, all right. I hear that. What you get?
So you can tell us the address, Mayor, because we want to know where we're going to send our people to.
We are located at 1618 Central Avenue, Northeast, East Grand Forks, Minnesota, 56721.
Is that a phone number?
The phone number is 218-207-2020.
All right. You know what? We got to put that in the description. But also, I want to, you know, expand on the name. Say the name again for me.
Balm of Gilead.
Now, what is the meaning behind that?
Healing ointment. I say Balm of Gilead, we believe that is where your healing journey begins. Not just because it's a healing ointment. It's because we believe that our healing comes from God. So, you know, when you see some patients, I've learned new vocabulary. They call it the higher power. Mm-hmm. I didn't know the people
everybody doesn't identify with God. So, yeah.
Yeah, so a higher power. When I heard that word, I was taking it back a little bit. I said, yeah, that is a higher power. And so the higher power, now it depends on who caused the higher power. For me, my higher power is God. Mm-hmm. And I believe that our treatment, the ability to be able to treat somebody and get them to the point where they are healed, that comes from God. And that's where my belief is. So I believe that for every client that I see, I have the specific wisdom that is tailored to the needs of that specific client. So you don't say A looks the same like B. No, everybody is individual, and you tailor their care to them.
Yes.
Treat that person as an individual, not a figure. I think that's something that sometimes as providers we mix up, where you just count the numbers. No, you count people, and you count them as humans, and they are individuals, and they have specific needs. So you tailor that healing ointment, that wisdom that I see from above, and channel it to that particular person to meet their needs.
That's so amazing. That's definitely a different look.
You're talking about person-centered and individualized care, addressing a whole person.
A whole person.
And that is wonderful. That is truly amazing. Do you guys offer, so if a client came in and they were talking to you based on their beliefs and their higher power, do you guys pray with your clients too?
If they believe in the power of prayer, sometimes I offer.
Okay.
So I've seen clients that talk about their belief and they talk about maybe where they are at the point where they are struggling.
Yeah.
And I just offer. There's nothing wrong in offering.
Can I
pray with you today? Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, I can pray with you. Definitely. I pray with them. So that happens in person. That happens. Even on telehealth when you're providing services. So one thing I forgot to mention at the beginning is that we do offer visits both telehealth and in person.
Okay.
Our psychiatry, it's running out really telehealth. I mean, we have clients coming in person, but we have a lot of those telehealth. Now, if you talk about telehealth, we see patients that are in treatment centers.
Okay.
So they're currently in a treatment center. They need a provider to see them. What we need is we just need a video. We need some form of a video that we can see them. Because with mental health, when you talk to somebody, you want to look at them. You want to see how they respond.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of that too is an assessment that you're building in. You ask them questions. You see how they process. You see how they interpret things. And then you also, it's good to talk to somebody and see them.
Yes.
Yeah. Then you can have a feel that.
You can connect, you're that not, connection.
Yeah. You're not talking to a black screen or somebody else's response.
That rapport building.
That rapport building. It's in. So services are both in person and telehealth. For medical, we really do like to see you in, because if I'm treating your blood pressure, I want to have a blood pressure.
Yeah.
Yes.
I want to check that blood pressure. So things like that. But you know, with medicine at this point, you have to be flexible and know how to meet the patient's needs.
Correct. Now, I guess my question would be, now what about those people that, you know, maybe have private insurance? Now, do you accept all insurance? Do you accept state insurance or
do you accept Medicaid?
Yes, we take Medicaid. We take Medicare.
Awesome.
I think those were the first ones that we got. We got credential with. We take UCare. We take. Right now, we are in the process of getting health partners. Sanford is in. We do Optum is in. Cigna is in. I think we have a good chunk in there.
That's awesome.
That's what's up.
Credential with at this time. We also take private pay if you want to just
do
cash
self-pay.
Pay. Okay. And there's also a discount on the side if you're doing cash pay.
Okay.
So you offer like sliding scale discounts and things like that based on income.
Yeah.
So you're able to serve the needs of the community whether you're here or there.
Yes.
That is wonderful. That's really awesome. So tell us, what are some of the other things that you're doing in the community to bring awareness to your business and the your profession?
So in this community, I go anywhere, I'm saying. So let's say Love in Action needs services. I will go out there, I will serve. If the mission needs me to come out. So when you work as a mental health provider, my job is just not to provide care to clients that come in.
Yeah.
I also am a part of my community. I get involved. Mm-hmm. So like even as a church, we go downtown, we do meals for...
Church is that?
Redeemed Christian Church of God Lord's Temple.
Okay.
We go downtown and we do meals at the mission. So 4th of July is our day.
Yeah.
So if you come downtown on the 4th of July at the mission, oh man, there's a cookout there. That is going to be smiling my eyes. I'm telling you, we did it last year. It was a hit. We are doing it this year.
Okay.
Our pastor said for the next 100 years. So I'm hoping that for the next 100 years, I'm living in Grand Forks. This is home for me.
Yeah.
We will be doing that. We do fry puff balls and go out in our community. So there was a year where last year, I think or 2 years back, we went out to most 12 places. So we went down to the fire department, police department, went down to La Grave. We went even to the nursing home. Mm-hmm. And we volunteer. So there's just that part of being in the community. So wherever I'm needed, by the grace of God, I can serve, we go out there. This Easter Sunday, this week, we have a huge program going on. So Friday we have worship. Saturday we have community gifts that we are giving out. And Sunday we have a huge cookout too.
Okay.
So we have service, and after service, we have this feast.
Okay, you got to tell us the location of the church.
1600 Fourth Avenue North.
1600 Fourth Avenue North.
Sunday, 10:30, Saturday, 1 o'clock. Bring your kids out there. Come have some fresh puff balls.
Okay.
Warm and...
Did y'all send out mailers?
Yes, we did sell out. Man, you check your mail. Oh my goodness, I like that.
Yeah, send out your mailers.
The name of the church?
Yes.
And the name of the church is
Redeemed Christian Church of God. Yeah. Lord's Temple. Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's it right there.
You got it.
So my question would be, you know, you're doing all these wonderful things in the community. What brought you to those thoughts? You know, I want to help the community. I want to get out here and provide a service. I want to be, I want to do something. I just don't want to sit back and just watch everything just go by the wayside.
If I could say, you were a chef for 6 years before you went into nursing.
Come on now.
So, I come from Africa, particularly Cameroon. I came here in 2008, and I came here as a housewife. Mm-hmm. My husband was in school then doing a program in chemistry at UND. So while I sat at home, I met Doris Lebby, and she took me around. I was going to gospel.
Shout out, Doris.
Oh, yeah.
Love in action.
Love in action.
Yes, yes. She took me around the community, get me introduced around. So I get to know people really early when I came in. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. Gospel Outreach, they did a lot of outreaches, so I partnered with that. I would go out, our full calls that Bishop Cole takes.
For, hey, shout out, Go. Missions. Shout out, Go.
And so that's how I became part of the community. And then for mm-hmm. UND, whenever they had like cultural nights, mm-hmm. I would go in and cook. And if
are you going to go to the one on the African culture April night 6th? On April 6th?
Are you cooking this year?
I didn't hear any invitation.
We're going to send you an invitation. You invited.
We got to taste some of that cooking.
So I go there and I cook. So that's how I really became part of my community. And this is interesting. When I became a student at UND, they had this program that was for international students where you had to do some community work. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that really pushed me out into the community because for me to meet those hours, I had to do community work. So that really expanded, I would say, my tentacles in our community. Yeah. But I have been here since 2008. So that's almost 16 years.
Yeah.
This is home. I've been. Yeah. I've gone to Fargo, come mm-hmm. back. Went to Detroit Lakes, come back. So I'm done going places.
What keeps bringing you back?
This is home. This is home. I feel like when I walk in Grand Forks, when I walk into an office, mm-hmm. this is my home.
Yes. That's beautiful. That's a beautiful place to be.
This is home for me. I feel like I know my way around. Mm-hmm. I teach at a college. I'm a
come on, tell us. Come on.
Clinical instructor.
I'm a clinical instructor for the family nurse practitioner program. Mm-hmm. So this is home for me.
Yes.
When I go to UND, I feel like this is my home. I can walk into an office and ask for help. Yeah. I know that this is home. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So I say home away from home. This is my home.
This
away
is
from
it right
home.
Here.
That is awesome.
Don't think of the cold. The cold is doing its job.
The cold is. Hey, the cold is going to be the cold. That's one thing you got to accept being here in North Dakota is that the cold is going cold.
We in the middle of winter.
Oh, you call it Swinter?
Spring?
Spinter?
Like sprint? Something. Throw a W in the middle of spring.
It's beautiful. Swing.
Yes, it is. I agree with you.
I say it keeps the rats and the cockroaches away.
Do you say the rats and what?
The cockroaches.
The cockroaches.
The roaches.
They call it cockroaches.
I haven't seen none of those. I haven't seen no cockroaches in a long time. And I hope I don't see none.
Me neither.
Them roaches, me and them rats either. I used to sleep on the seat. A lot of people don't know my story. See, I used to sleep on the floor with the roaches and the rats. You know what I'm saying? So we had this carpet. I know this is going beyond anything, but we had this carpet. I'd be asleep right there, and then I could see the little roaches, just the little baby roaches just crawling through the carpet. It was horrible.
Baby, let me tell you, I don't think you're the only one that didn't grew up with some roaches, okay? I definitely grew up with roaches, and I done seen some rats. And let me say,
at
one point, yeah, like our sewer had backed up. Sewage came through the floor. Like, I'm so happy to be where we are today.
Yeah. Definitely. It's been nice to not have to look at those roaches and those rats.
Shout out to the sanitation team in Grand Forks for keeping us safe and the city clean and
super clean. Man, I went one time to visit
pest
Maryland.
Control.
I was running home. I can't believe people just eat and throw the garbage on the street.
Yeah. And our streets are really clean. Yeah. Really, really clean.
You think it's dirty, wait until you go down south. You appreciate
it. That's up north. That's what, you know, you get those kind of things up north. Up north has always been noticed and known for, you know, just in betterment of life.
And I think it also has a lot to do with, like, the population, very large populations, you think, like, Chicago. What is it, like 3 million people? We got 50,000 here.
It's quiet.
A lot more different. Yes, you are very soft spoken too. I love that.
The quiet. Oh, I'm very loud.
Not today.
Like, don't get it twisted now.
I'm very loud. Oh boy.
Now that's what's up. So now that brings me to my next question, Miss Merritt. You know, what is next for you? What are you seeing in the future? What are you trying to put forth? You know, what are you trying to make happen more in the community? What would you like to see more in the community?
I would like to see a community where we promote our mental health. I think that there's a lot of stigma around mental health. I'll give you an example. I don't know if I was talking to a friend. I said, when I walk by and I hear somebody say, "You're bipolar." That, I'm telling you, it feels like you just take a knife and went through, my God. That is a stigma. To see somebody behave a certain way and you attribute that to a disease that somebody's suffering from, for me, that is stigma. If I am stubborn, say I'm stubborn and correct my stubbornness. Don't say I behave bipolar or, you behave like an ADHD. That is just an insult. Mm. I want to see a community where we recognize that people are struggling.
Yes.
And we are willing to accept that and help them. You're able to look at that child and be like, oh my goodness, this child is struggling. How can I make a difference?
Yes, yes.
That is what I'm looking at. I'm looking at a community where you walk into an office and you accept it for who you are.
Yes.
This is who I am.
Yeah.
This is how I struggle with addiction. So what? Because I don't struggle with addiction, I struggle with other things.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's always something.
There is something. So I give you an example. I tell a patient, I said, I understand you're struggling with alcohol. I don't understand the feeling of drinking and having that sorrow. But one thing I can tell is that I've seen people pass this and become better. Mm. So you have that inner strength that you can draw from and get over this.
Yes.
Let's just tackle today. Let's tackle just today. Don't think about tomorrow because tomorrow starts giving you anxiety. Let's tackle today. One day, one thing at a time. I even say 1 second. So long as you're sober today, we celebrate. This is funny. When I go into the addiction centers and I see a patient, I'll count. I say, how many days are you sober? You say, 1 week. I say, let's do the woo-hoo dance.
Right.
One day.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, you count and count. I met one yesterday. It was 90 days sober.
Blessings.
But awesome. We celebrate that one day.
Yep.
And one day. So my goal is to see a community again that we are accepting of others that struggle and are willing to help them. And to know that for everybody that walks through that door, they might not necessarily need a pill.
Mm-hmm.
They might just need somebody to talk to.
Somebody that
will listen to them.
Somebody walks
and be able to say, I'm a provider that dispenses pills. You don't need a medication. What you need is therapy. Go see a therapist.
Build on those coping skills.
And build on those coping skills.
Yes.
I think you have borderline personality. You need to go see somebody who can help you with some DBT. Because those skills are not only going to help you with that struggle of abandonment. It's going to help you in other areas of your life.
Yes.
So
yes.
That is my goal, is not just being that provider that hands patient pills, but to understand that this person comes in as a whole person. How can I look at them and not see that, okay, they have depression, but that depression is because they don't have a job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If I can send you to this social worker and get you to have a job, you will no longer be depressed.
Not about that.
Yeah. So not just handing them pills, but looking at them and saying, you don't really need medication. You need therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we do to get you out of this place where you are right now, to get you where you need to be.
Correct.
And not just be like, okay, you have depression. Here's a pill.
Yeah.
I'll see you next week. Here's a pill. I'll see you the other
big
week.
Big pharma.
And I totally agree with that. And so, well, Roosevelt, you might know, but the viewers may not know about my background. And so I completed my undergraduate in rehabilitation and human services. I have a bachelor's in it and also have a master's in counseling. What I found that was, even sitting across a desk and listening to someone, right, talk about their problems every day, you can give them homework, we can continue to talk about those things. But when you walk out of the office, right, and you have to follow up or follow through on anything, sometimes it's just difficult. So I changed the way that I thought about things. And you're right. Like, I am not a person that's, like, really big on medication. You know, you can do this. Come on, how can I support you? You know, what can we do? What are the next, what are your goals? What are the mm-hmm. things that we can do to get you to where you need to be? I'm here to just help you live your best life. And I don't think that we talk about that enough, where people don't have to just be on medication daily to function. You don't need that. God has given you everything that you need inside of you. And in order for you to even become where you need, well, be what you need to be and become the best that you are, you have to focus on this. We got to fix how we think about ourselves, how we perceive things. Mm-hmm. We have to reframe things positively, right? Instead of stop that negative self-talk, you know, and just build on those coping skills and create new pathways so that we can change the way that we think, our thought patterns and everything.
Yeah, definitely. I would agree with that. You know what I'm saying? But it starts like, okay, being able to identify these things, you know, be like you said, having a person, you know what I'm saying, going through, I ain't had a job in 3 years or, you know, I've been drinking for 30 years or how do I stop? You know what I'm saying? Just being able to acknowledge the person, but what how do you acknowledge a person when the person just don't want to, okay, I'm good, I'm okay. What I guess they, is it a mask that they wear? Is it a, it's something where it's like we have people walking around here that need help but don't know how to get it.
It's a lot of social stigma, I believe, associated with that. A lot of people don't believe in quote unquote mental health, mental disability. They don't want to be labeled. And so a lot of times when you think about like the past and you watch TV shows and you watch like, you know, the way that we are entertained, we always see somebody sitting on a couch. They're always rich. They're always white. Excuse my French. You know, it's I'm serious. Like
your French.
Excuse my French. You know, pardon me. Right. But, right. I mean, it's just slang. But there, you know, there's nobody in poverty sitting on that couch talking to someone. And then when we go in our communities, you know, we're always taught, or I was raised, you don't let anybody in your business.
You know, you don't tell nobody nothing that goes on in this household.
Be mentally strong, you know?
No.
Like, you got this. This is the way we're conditioned to believe that, you know, no. Mm-hmm. You don't want people involved.
You don't
in
want people
business.
In your business, period. You know? Especially them white people.
It brings more problems. People believe that it brings more problems once you let people in, but that's not true. Mm-hmm. That's not true. Mira, what do you think?
I believe that having a, for somebody to be able to get help, they need to get to that point. They know they need to get help, and they need to acknowledge they have a problem. Mm-hmm. One thing, it's difficult to treat somebody who doesn't think they have a problem. So sometimes as a provider, it's you can see that they have an issue. Let's say you come in, your blood pressure is 170. Okay, let's check in 2 days. You come in 2 days, we check your blood pressure. It's 160 over 100. Mm-hmm. You have high blood pressure problems. Mm-hmm. You have hypertension. Now, it is not left for you to accept that I have hypertension. The question is, if you come to that point, that realization that I have a problem, it's easier for you to get help. And you're right about stigma. The things that we have watched, the things that we have seen, gives us that ideology that, oh, if I let somebody in my space, now they know my business, and then I'm going to feel vulnerable. Mm. You know, it's funny that I was talking to one of my brothers this morning. I said, that's something that we need to, it's good sometimes to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Then you can get the help that you need. I'll give you an example. When you lost a loved one, I say this because I come from a culture. When we lost a loved one, we mourn. I cry like there's no yesterday. Mm-hmm. But when I'm done crying for those days, I am done. Mm-hmm. I move on. Mm-hmm. You will wonder why sometimes people go through so much trauma that you don't understand, and they are able to pass it. That's because when there was trauma at that point, that difficult moment, they were able to mourn over it. Crying is okay. Mm-hmm. I think I was talking about it. When I said crying is okay.
Absolutely.
It's good to cry.
Yeah.
Cry and let it out. Mm-hmm. When you put that loved one down, bury them, you can walk out and be like, I mourn for them. But when that person dies and you put up the facade, you know, I don't know if, I know I speak a little bit of French. You put on that face and you're like, you're all put. And then when everybody's gone, that's when reality hit you, that, oh.
You just have those moments of by yourself, just like, hey, you know what?
And then you get into depression. You get into that deep, deep hole. I'm telling you, family, and then you know when you lost a loved one, there's that tendency that people come at once and then everybody walks away. And then that's when you notice that, oh, there was warmth and now it's winter. It's like the summer heats the next day. The winter hits the next day from the summer, and then you realize that, oh, mom is not here. And then you see everything at home. But if you give yourself that time to grieve, and when I say we mourn, we will, like, this house is going to fall. And then sometimes people think that is wrong. No, it's okay to cry. It's okay to come to a point where you're vulnerable. I lost my mom. This is my mom. This is somebody that was dear to me. I'm going to mourn. And then I mourn for a week, and then I move on with life. Because if you don't, there are things in life we can't avoid.
Right.
True. That is one.
There is a place where you go through a hard time. You just have to say, I need help. I tell Christians, I say, if you need to talk to your pastor, go. That is therapy. Go sit down, talk to somebody, let it out.
Yeah.
Don't bottle it all in. Because whatever goes in has a way of going out. It like goes out the other way. If you eat food, it has to go out somewhere.
Definitely. It's going to come out.
So whatever we take in as a difficult time or going through a hard time, it has to come in one way. Either you talk about it. Either it comes out through the depression that now you have to face by yourself, or the anxiety, or the anxious start that you're getting. We just have to be vulnerable. I think being vulnerable, in this culture that we are, people have to understand that being vulnerable is something.
I think I understand completely, because I was talking to someone that, we're coworkers, but we're closer than the average coworkers. We share, right? And so when you normally ask somebody how they doing, what do they tell you?
I'm okay.
She said, how are you? I said, I'm going through some personal growth challenges today.
You already know, right?
I start tearing up.
Yeah.
You know, and she said, I'm happy that you told me that. But that's vulnerability.
Yes.
Like, you know, we walk around with a mask on. We don't want anybody to know how broken we are under there. But the only way to be repair and present our full whole selves to the world is to, man, talk to somebody, acknowledge what's going on with you, get it up out of you, talk about it, and, you know, like, man, maybe somebody got some encouraging words for you. If you say you okay, okay, well, you have, go ahead, have a nice day, I'll see you later. That's but, you know, maybe somebody have a prayer for you. You know, maybe somebody can just, man, okay, well, let's talk about that later. You know, maybe that's not a good moment, but, you know, well, you know, is there anything that I can do to help you in this moment right now?
Yeah.
We block our blessings. We block help. We block assistance when we don't open ourselves up to receive them.
But you know what? That goes right back into what we was talking about before. You know, raised with those stigmas and raised with and not wanting nobody. It's like, I got to figure it out. You know what? I'm going to figure it out. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to go through what I got to go through to figure it out. I know I'm, you know, I'm telling you I'm okay, but right now I'm dying inside. But I know when I know I just need to do something. I don't know what it's got to need to do, but I'm going to need to do something so I can feel better. You know what I'm saying? So it's,
this how is do where you, addiction comes in.
Mm.
People numb their feelings. They want to drink. They don't want to remember nothing. They don't want to feel nothing.
I got to go get this me a bottle now.
Right. This is That's their new coping skill.
That's the pattern. That's what you said, coping. There you go.
This is how they cope. And so there are other ways to do that, though, you know. And so when we talk about addiction and, you know, creating habits, we can create healthy habits. We just have to know how to do that. And so when we talk about mental health. Stigma, I have my phone on, do not disturb right there. I don't know what's going on. But, you know, when we talk about those things, I think it's really important that we, like you said, bring more awareness to
what about it can look like. What about our children, though, that grew up with these adults? you know, that grew up with these adults that's having these issues that feel like, I'm going to be okay, I'm going to make it okay, and you don't tell nobody. Now they're portraying the same thing that they went through to these children.
They passing down generational trauma.
So how do we, you know what I'm saying, knowing or, you know, understanding it, how do we assist the situation or help the situation?
Get your kids in therapy early. Talk to them. Have a conversation. Ask them what's wrong. Like, and if you don't have, as a parent, you don't have to have the answers. You yes. don't. You don't. There are trained professionals there that are able to help you. Maybe there's a mentor or somebody else in your family that child feels more comfortable talking to. Maybe you can't be objective in that way, you know?
Yeah.
But, you passing down generational trauma. If you are holding your stuff in and then you're making your kids do the same thing, like, they're affected by you.
Correct.
I think I read like a report. Let me see. It was talked about. Oh, just scratch it, because I can't recall it, and I don't want to be talking about it and it ain't correct.
Okay, go.
When we talk about kids and passing down trauma, I said I've seen a little bit of that in America, where parents. I've seen this lady who went through a lot of trauma in her marriage. But the first thing she did is, once she came out of that marriage, she took the daughters into therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And the daughters went into therapy for almost 2 years, just going through that. And, you know, you wonder that she was the one that was getting the physical violence. She was the one that was getting beaten.
Yeah.
But the kids saw that.
Right.
And the boys saw that. Mm-hmm. And in their mind, they know, oh, for me to have a woman that respects me, this is what I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that lady had to take those kids into therapy for their brains to be reprogrammed.
Mm-hmm.
Not normal. This is not what normal life looks like. A dad is supposed to be loving, not beat me in front of you guys. This is not how you treat a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like she said, it's true to bring those kids into therapy. I think that also, like, providers, when they come in, those are something that you will notice. And sometimes, you know, even going in with my own kids, I would tell the doctor, I need to step out.
Mm-hmm.
I'll step out and just let that kid talk to you and see. Maybe there was something else that he couldn't tell me. But in the life of my children, I have people that they respect.
Mm-hmm.
So I always say, if you have something that you don't want to talk to your uncle,
mm-hmm.
Sit down and have that conversation with your uncle. And I've heard things back from them, say, oh, this person said this happened at home.
Mm-hmm.
And we will sort through that. As a parent, I'm not going to go back to him and be like, oh, your uncle told me.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
No, I take that
does something else.
Mm-hmm. Keeps them from talking next time.
And I think that, and sometimes this is culture, parents say, oh, I don't want my child confiding into somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you guys have conflict that you cannot resolve, and that child cannot talk to you, and they cannot talk to somebody else,
mm-hmm.
what is going to happen? They're going to seek help somewhere else that was probably where you don't even want them to seek.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we come from a place where we don't talk about sex. We don't.
Mm-hmm.
You just find out when
you're
in.
Just do it on the real. Now you're in it. Oh, wow. Okay.
We don't talk about sex. And then, so, when you don't talk about sex and your daughter goes through this problem, they don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come back home pregnant and you're almost breaking their backs. No, that's because you never talk to them about what this is all about.
Yeah.
Guess where they know from? In school.
Correct.
The teacher pairs
social
them off.
Social media.
Social media. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that. The teacher teaches them about sex.
You get a plan B.
In the way
exactly.
Yeah. In the way they understand, and then they say, oh, this guy is a good guy. You can pair up. You don't know any of that at home.
No,
they don't have this conversation.
True.
But if you sit home with your daughter in the kitchen and you're like, hey, what's going on? Which girl is looking at you with the corner of the eye? My son will almost slap me. And like, mom, what are you talking about? But that is just letting them know that mom is open if you want to have that conversation.
Yes. Yes.
It doesn't hurt a thing. This is kitchen talk.
It's a safe space for you to enter.
So you don't only open the talk to talk about sex, and that window that you open, different things will come up.
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They will walk back from home and say, do you know what happened in school today? Boy, I don't want to hear it.
What happened?
Look, what? Right.
So we need as parents to be able to create that environment where our kids can talk to us, but also to recognize that if we are dealing with something, and this I learned from my husband, is we have to deal with those things so we don't pass that to our children without mm-hmm. even knowing.
Correct.
Right. Because correct. They'll begin to internalize that and think, you know,
mm-hmm.
they'll have bad thoughts.
Yep.
You mm-hmm. know, they'll have poor self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no confidence. And then, like you said, next thing you know, they'll be looking to Joey over here.
Yeah.
You know, one of the little kids at school hanging out doing some stuff they ain't got no business doing. Like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You yeah. know, children yeah. act out when things are going on. So, like, what signs would you say, what signs would a parent notice if their children was experiencing maybe some type of depression or mental illness?
What you notice these days is internet, this iPad computer has not. I'm telling you, it has done its good,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think that sometimes the kids really understand how much is out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have a kid who comes home and he's in his room, on his computer, coming out even to eat is difficult. Mm-hmm. What are they doing? Some of them are on Facebook. They are doing Facebook.
YouTube.
And YouTube. And then mm-hmm. they get bullied by other classmates, maybe because they are not posting the way they are. Or maybe they start seeing pictures of other kids and they look into the mirror and they feel like, I don't meet up to standard.
Mm-hmm.
Then they start having depression. They start feeling like, oh my God, I don't meet up to standard. They start isolating. They start getting sad.
Mm. Yeah.
Then that doesn't only transcend from there. They start acting up.
Mm-hmm.
They start getting angry.
Yes.
You have a kid who's home. You know, sometimes as parents, we say, we've given them everything. The person that can give you everything is God. I can't.
Come on,
right.
Now.
The highest I gave you was give back to you. And that was even a gift in itself.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't give a kid everything.
True.
I think that as parents, we stop being a parent and try to be a friend.
Yeah, that's what.
There is a base of being a friend in a child's life.
Right.
But you're called to be a parent.
Be a friend when they're adults, you know?
Correct.
Parent your children.
Mm-hmm.
If a child, you separate between their wants and their needs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, if you were to put $10,000 in front of my second child, $10,000 will not be enough for one of his ideas.
Oh, they are spending your money.
His ideas are bold. Like, that tells you, that's why they call him a child. My pastor always says, if you're called a child, it's a disease. He said, if somebody ever said you behave like a child, you better go hit your head on the wall.
Mm.
Because if you sit down to look at the characteristics of a child, it's me, myself, and I.
Yep. Yeah.
Very self-centered.
Mm-hmm. Self-centered. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll look at Erickson's stories and say it's a stage. Mm-hmm. I feel like until they go to that point where they are now understanding that, I have to work to mom and dad work for this to happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They have that mentality.
It's yeah.
me and myself. And then they have all these big ideas. All this, we call them grandiose studies. All these big
yes,
ideas.
Yes, like, yes.
Oh, I once thought like you.
Yes.
You know, my dad would say, you're acting a movie that the actors are dead.
They're dead. They don't even exist no more. Wow.
So it's that ability of looking at your child. You know the normal. Every mm-hmm. parent knows the normal. You know your yeah. kid is a happy-go kid.
Mm-hmm.
Watch them. Why are you sitting in the room? Come out. You know, don't be in that room by yourself watching. Sit on the computer where I can pass
mm-hmm.
and flip my eyes and see what you're doing.
Yeah.
Then,
no, I don't want to do that.
I'm wearing an earshot. I can hear.
I don't want to do it.
I
don't
want to
do it. I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do it.
Oh no!
What kids don't understand is you're not even looking. You're actually watching out for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're not looking. There's no parent that will be going like that. Well, I don't have time for that. But
mm-hmm.
you're just safeguarding them. You're right. just making sure that they don't even get to that point where now they are isolating. They're getting bullied on the internet, and they are not eating.
Yeah.
And then you have girls. Girls don't eat because they want to feed a particular figure.
Mm-hmm.
Teach your children self-confidence. Yep. I tell my children, I say, it's okay to be different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's okay to know that your colleague is eating burger and you're eating fried rice. It's mm-hmm. okay. I said, what makes America a beautiful place is the difference. I said, if everybody had this color, life would be boring.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you have somebody that looks like my brother there.
Mm-hmm.
You have somebody else that looks pink. You have mm-hmm. some. I said, all of us, when we put in it brings a very beautiful culture.
Yes.
And that's why we like food in America, because the food comes from Mexico. It comes from Philippines. Yes. It comes from China.
Yes.
You can decide and say to them, I'm eating Somalian. The next day, I'm eating Rwandan. The next day, I'm eating Chinese.
Yes.
That is the beauty of being in America.
Oh, I'm hungry.
And you have to be able to walk up and be like, I belong here. Mm-hmm. And I'm beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And being different.
Yes.
It's okay.
You yes, said
and,
a lot.
And so parents need to build that confidence in their kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're okay. Build if them you're up. Fat, you're okay.
Absolutely.
If you're skinny, you're yep. okay. You're yes. fine. You're healthy.
Yes.
Get that mind. Nobody's out there is you. Mm-hmm. There's only one you.
Yep. Tell them that you love them.
Oh, yeah.
Like you said, build that confidence.
Uh-oh, Paul got
build
some.
That confidence up in the kids. Don't yep. call them out their names. Don't say, you just like your daddy. You just
yeah, don't
like
do
so
that.
So
don't
so.
Do that.
You know, don't call them stupid or idiots or anything
don't,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
when
yeah.
you're angry, mm-mm. walk away. Come back mm-mm. when you can be calm.
My son would say, Mom, that tone you're angry. I said, I'm angry because you can't shut up. You talk when I'm talking.
Yep.
Oh, do. What's maybe, up, Paul? Give it to us.
Maybe you already touched on this, and I may have missed it, but how did you determine for a child whether there's a chemical imbalance or it's an environmental challenge for as far as their mentality?
Mm.
Take them out the environment and see what happens.
Let's get you out of here, dude. We're going to do something else.
Right.
Change, that was a good one.
Change the structure of the environment.
Oh, boy.
See what
you
happens.
Took off my headset.
Like, wait, I ain't heard that one before. On the real.
Let's get it from the professional, though.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
definitely.
When we talk about chemical imbalance, so are you talking about like using drugs?
No, if there's like, there's something that's like, actually wrong with like probably something that's going on within the brain or something that, you know, maybe in their diet or something, but as opposed to, you know, if like there's problems in the home with like family or something along mm-hmm. those lines.
So I give you an example. When I have patients that come in, let's say I have a child in that is always tired. Mm-hmm. The first thing is I start looking at family history. Do you guys have problems of thyroid? Do you guys have diabetes? I'll tell you a fun story. When I was a student, I was practicing I was following one of the doctors in town here, and we had a six-year-old. Came in, mom just said, he's always tired, he's always sleeping, and he's six. And I was like, he's always tired. In my mind, I've never seen a six-year-old. Sincerely, I came from Africa, who has diabetes. Mm. And that doctor came in and said, what are you thinking? I said, thyroid problem. He said, what else can you think of? Diabetes? You know, you say diabetes, and you look at him like, oh, yeah, just guessing. That kid had type 1 diabetes.
Mm.
So if you look at that six-year-old and you start thinking of drugs, then that has to come from somewhere in the house. Somebody is giving them to him.
Correct.
So that's when you do a family check. You say, oh, you just ask, is somebody at home drinking? You know, it's an innocent question. There's nothing hurting in asking. If the person gets angry, why are you asking about drinking? I say, I'm just trying to
gather information
yeah. and see how we can best help the child. Mm-hmm. For every kid that I see, before I say this child has depression, I have to do labs on that child. We want to rule out they don't have thyroid problems, because if you have a low thyroid, functioning thyroid, you almost look like somebody has depression.
Mm.
You're always tired. Always tired. We see that their child is just tired, they are groggy, they put on more weight. It's just like everything just slows down.
Mm.
So you always want to screen that, even for adults. When you come in and I see that you have manic symptoms, I have to screen you. Just make sure that we are not treating just the mental health. We are looking at you as a whole person.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really see that they have thyroid problems and you treat them, it's actually even easier for you to manage their mental health problems.
Mm. Because you're looking at that original,
yeah,
that thing to get right back to
yeah,
it.
You're balancing those chemicals, like he said. When you balance that chemical, you're able to help that child. Now, if they have diabetes, you have to treat that blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make sure that you're managing that diet. Because if you don't, that child will develop depression.
Mm.
So, you know, mental health and medical, they are intertwined.
Yeah.
If you don't treat one adequately, the other one is going to come.
Going, mm-hmm. yes.
When people have pain, and this is something that I think that we don't realize, that when people have pain and that pain is not managed, they are depressed.
Mm-hmm.
That is what I'm
off top.
They are depressed.
Because there's no way that they can be happy.
There's no way you can be happy.
Yeah.
you are depressed. Mm-hmm. And so when you are depressed, it makes your pain worse.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like if you don't manage those, it's just going to make the other go up. So I think that we have to do our which the medical part of it is the lab work. Make sure that you take a good history and roll that out. And then you can tell. But I will tell you something. Know your kid. Know your kid. And you can tell.
Anything going on. Yeah, anything. Going, I promise. In my children, I know.
Know your kid. Yes. I can. My son can ask that question. I say, you're lying. How do you know? Because you're my kid.
Yes.
I can look at your eyes and know you're lying. They are speeding really fast.
How you feeling about that answer, Paul? All right, all right. Man, that's what I'm talking about. And that's what, you know, that's what we thrive for, conversation with a purpose. And we talked about a little bit about the mental health, a little bit about, we can go for days and hours. You know, like you said, I think that was the biggest thing right there, Paul said, looking at those mental issues, not knowing that it may not be a mental thing and they have to diagnose with, you know, pills or something. It may be something in the body that's off. It may be an imbalance in the mind that's off. And we have, like you said, we got to know thyself and we got to know our children. You know what I'm saying? So we can understand, okay, well, that's a little different. You know, so when you do talk to the doctor, say, well, this was been going on and this what's been happening and, you know, what you think about it. You know what I'm saying? But Big Pharma wants everybody to have a pill for everything.
Pills manage really symptoms. They do not cure. People need to understand that.
So I can kind of touch on that just because when I was a child, I was anemic, you know, so I had to get on, like, iron pills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, I mean, how many kids out there that are low on iron, but it's the fact of just get them out of the computer room and get them out in the sun.
Yep.
That little piece right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
And it could also have been changing your diet and, yeah, just eating more green leafy vegetables. did you eat vegetables as a kid, Paul?
Like burgers.
Meat, right. Like, folic acid.
I said, like burgers, you know, vegetables is they are burgers. I say that's my third one. I said, your vegetable is your burger.
Yeah, a good burger, good meat.
So one thing that we also realize that seasons change, and sometimes when seasons change, it do affect people. Mm-hmm. Like when we go into the winter, some people get more depressed because they are not able to go out as much as they could because of the cold. So things like that, you have to know yourself. Take a vitamin D. I'm telling you, just take a good vitamin D. That makes a difference. It's good for you anyways.
Yes.
Just take the vitamin D, add a multivitamin in
that
it.
That makes sense.
Get some good sleep.
Yeah. Y'all, don't she sound like somebody y'all want taking care of y'all? You accept a new patient.
Yes, please.
Look, you got one.
I promise I'm on my way. On the real. Hey.
You got a family.
Hey, I'm coming.
Walk through that door, you never look back.
Amen.
Blessings, blessings, blessings. Again, Miss Merritt, I appreciate you coming out.
Yes, thank you so much.
And giving us some of this good knowledge and purposeful knowledge. And then what's amazing that you did it on purpose. You know what I'm saying? Once you know, it's nothing like you accidentally fell into it. You know what I'm saying? Even feeding people, cooking for people, that's a purpose. So, and now you're cooking for people in a whole nother way. So we want to thank you. We want to thank you. Thank you so much. For continuing.
Thank God for you.
You feel
let them use
I'm,
you.
I'm glad that you guys had me here. It's a privilege and I am honored and I say thank you. We call ourselves we call them Great Grand Fox. We are the greater part of Grand Fox.
Yeah.
We are here to stay. We are here to make this community a better place.
Yes.
For me in particular, I always tell my husband, I said, this community has put a lot in me.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it's my turn to serve.
Okay.
Bless.
Pour in. Okay.
I feel. What you got to say before we get out of here, Miss Kimmy?
I thought that this was a very, very, really, really, really good podcast. I want to thank you so much. Oh. We have crossed paths, and it's really an honor for you to be here to learn more about your personal journey and your personal philosophies and see how you have incorporated that into your profession. That is beautiful.
Thank you.
That is beautiful. And big ups to UND for diversifying their staff.
Shout out UND.
More effort needs to continue to be made, but I mean, we love you. I'm an alumni. We want to see more of us.
Yeah, but you know what? They know that already. You know, they just showed us the other day when we was in a diversity show. They showed us what they did for the first, people.
We attended a dinner called Empowered by Our Past that was put on by the
UND Diversity and Inclusion.
Diversity and Inclusion and Dr. Bailey as well. Mm-hmm. And so we really did enjoy seeing
UND step up and deal with. I'm talking about UND did some awesome things. It was one of the first guys of color that graduated.
They honored the people. They honored the first people of color that attended the university. And mm-hmm. then they even, like, they righted history by providing, awarding a degree to a person who had met the qualifications of the programs in order to graduate. And they weren't awarded a degree. They had the families come in and speak. Wow. And that was powerful. I mean, daughters and the granddaughter. Like, it was really powerful. And so we want to give a big ups to the UND Cultural Diversity and Inclusion team.
Shout out, UND.
And, man, like, UND, thank you for continuing to diversify your staff. We are looking forward. And your student body, we're looking forward to seeing more of that.
Blessings. Well, we want to thank you guys for tuning in for Mixed Culture this time. I hope you guys got something out this conversation with a purpose. But until next time, you guys continue to have a great day.